Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for True Crime News. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
801 Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It's Mike and Bo. It's the morning shift. It's a victory Monday, and it's your first place Atlanta Falcons. Michael Penix making his debut yesterday, a blowout win over the New York Giants. A comfortable win. Like, when's the last time, Bo, that you felt that comfortable in a fourth quarter of an Atlanta Falcons game?
It's funny because I was talking to a high-ranking official from the team and the locker room after.
That sounds important.
And I had talked to him after the Raiders game, and I said, I don't really know what to do tomorrow morning. And he was like, what do you mean? And I was like, I don't know how to talk about this like it was a win, because it doesn't feel like one.
Yeah.
And kind of gave me we had a conversation. He was kind of like, oh, you know, it's still a win, blah, blah, blah. And then yesterday I saw him, he goes, see, you're all in your feelings last week.
No,
you're so upset.
Mr. High-ranking official, it doesn't work like that. Yesterday's win was not equal to last week's win, and you made changes during the week.
So you know what I said to him? I go, yeah, you know, it was so different to the point where I didn't know what to do in the second half.
Yeah,
I was like,
I was the same way.
Where's that feeling I normally have where my heart is in my throat?
Yeah, dude,
so true. And I'm on pins and needles, and I was like, this is way too relaxed. There's nothing like walking, as Arch and Wes will say, is walking up 18. With a 4-5 stroke lead, where you know whatever you do on this hole, you're good to go.
Yeah,
and that was the way that we
just
were.
Gotta play birdie golf from this point,
dude.
I mean, a bogey golf,
par golf. Manage the course.
Just play bogey golf.
And we managed the fourth quarter because we didn't have to do anything special.
Yeah. Let's go out to the phone lines real quick. Chief's been hanging on with us. Chief, what's going on, man? Hey, what's happening, Chief? Appreciate you hanging out, man.
Chief?
What's going on?
Yeah, what's happening, Michael, and Mr. Tribal Chief himself?
Sir.
Yeah. Before I get into Michael Penix, right quick, I got to give three awards to this show right quick. First of all, I'm giving an award for Tiffany because she had the best question of the year when she asked about Drake. And my boy Day-Day had the best answer of the year when he said it was not. Yeah. And the funniest thing of the year had to go to Dylan and his Liberty Television, all right?
Oh, my gosh, dude.
Them are my awards for the year. Now, let's get to Michael Penix. The best thing I seen yesterday, guys, it was one difference. The pocket was so quiet yesterday.
Yeah.
When he was back to pass, it was so quiet. His feet was quiet. Because when Kurt was back there, everything looked violent.
Yeah.
But this guy was so quiet. What do you guys think?
Yeah, that's a good call, Chief. And we actually had somebody, real quick, Bo, I want to make sure I highlight this. Somebody weighed in on Twitter and asked me, hey, what about Caleb McGarry? Barry J. Bone Johns said, we need to shout out Caleb McGarry. He played well from the blind side. Guys, I said it all week last week. The hesitation of the defensive line, Brian Burns, Kayvon Thibodeau, whoever you want, the hesitation, just knowing that you have a mobile quarterback, not an athletic quarterback, not a dual threat, just a guy who can move around a little bit, it pays dividends in the pass rush.
Yeah, and what Chief said is something that I talked about early this morning as well, and I talked after the game with some people. I was like, it just felt so much calmer. But that's the thing when – and I don't know for sure, and we can ask – kind of arch about the, you know, how he was able to look so calm in the pocket in his first career start with Thibodeau and Brian Burns, you know, on the other side. But I, you know, it's one of those deals where that clock in your head is a quarterback, right? And you're like, I gotta get rid of it. And that's when you can't move. And when you can move, you're like, all right, no, nothing. Okay, oh, what's that? All right, over here. Oh, you know what? Better step up.
Yep.
I'm gonna step up. And I think that's trust. You know, and look, I wanna shout out Randy Mack for the most evil tweet of the day yesterday.
Uh oh.
Where I want to get the exact verbiage, but basically when the game was in hand, you know, the question would be, do you take Penix out? And he tweeted, I know I ain't the only one thinking this. Does the backup come in? And that
is evil.
That is evil.
That is evil.
That is pure evil.
It's a good question.
Randy,
that's
that
what makes
was
it evil.
Evil of you. You're probably not listening, but if you are, that was evil.
Yeah.
And also, it made me laugh. But I but the reality is the class of what Raheem Morris and this organization is as a coaching staff, you don't do that to Kirk.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be tough, man.
I thought that would have been a little bit just rubbing salt in a wound that you didn't need to.
Yeah.
Not when he handled – look, you can come at me all you want with, he's still a pro, he's still getting paid. Yeah, he is. And he's still also a human, and he's a competitor. And when he handled this change, this transition with grace, and you treat it that way, because remember, he's one play away from being your quarterback again.
Well, and that's really the thing to keep in mind. Hey, let's go back out to the phone lines. Let's get our buddy DeAndre over in Decatur. DeAndre, man, what'd you see yesterday? Are you as excited as me, buddy?
Oh man, good morning, man.
What's
man,
up?
It's Mike Mafia in the building.
Whip, whip, whip.
Oh, Mike Mafia, I'm very excited, man. Like, first we have to give a big shout out to Terry for cooking with that number 8 pick. When everybody went against him saying it was a bad pick, like, we can honestly say it was genius now. But the best play that I don't hear everybody talking about is when Penix had them breathing down his neck and he was about to get sacked. In those kind of situations, we probably would have saw Kirk take the sack. Penix was able to hold him on his back and still get the ball off without it being an intentional grounding. And that was a heck of a play. But can I take 1 second to shout out Arnold Ebiketie? Anybody but me see when he bent that lean he gave that tackle when he bent that corner?
Yes, sir.
And made that sack? Like, that was amazing.
Yeah, that was Evan Neal, the right tackle from New York, man. He's been doing that, man. It's been impressive to see him kind of come along.
Yeah, Ebiketie's been phenomenal. That play that you're talking about, I believe it was in the second quarter because the field had flipped and they were going towards the east end zone. And I remember that play, and he got out, and it was look, that's what we talked about.
Yeah.
When we were trying to say, when Mike, you and I were talking about, and you had tweeted something about mobility, and everybody's like, this isn't Lamar Jackson back there trying to be, you know, this guy was trying to be a smartass. Honestly, it irritated me because you don't have to be.
No.
But Penix is still a guy that can move. He's still a 4-5 guy. More of a straight line guy, and you don't want him doing
That's
a lot
fine.
Of that. But the reality is he can do things in that pocket that this Kurt either never could or is no longer able to where he's at. And that's not a knock on anybody. It's just an observation, and it's one that's going to help this team if they're to make any hay the rest of the season.
All right, let's go back out to the phone lines one more time. We'll head right back over to Decatur, and we'll get to Trayvon. Trayvon, man, what'd you see yesterday? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, man. First thing first, I want to say I'm a free agent now.
Uh-oh.
And I've been listening to the show for a long time.
Uh-oh.
And at first, I was listening to Squid, and I'm like, I can get with that.
Mm-hmm.
But me being a former offensive lineman in high school and started listening to my guy Mike Johnson talk, I think it's time to join Mike Mafia!
Mike Mafia! Let's go.
Can I speak?
No, can you let this man finish his call? Let him mint his family gene here.
I just want the record to state that he came from me, and he's okay.
Okay.
He stayed with you. Well, but he came to see the light.
Hey, man. Hey, I'm not going to let you cut him off any longer. Trayvon, tell me what you saw, buddy.
Hey, man. One thing that I saw that I love is something that Mike, you actually talked about a lot last week. And we got a couple of bootlegs in there, man. I loved it. Getting out the pocket, setting it to where you want to set it at. And, you know, just his calmness, composure. The stat line was what? 17 for 28, 202 yards. But there was a couple of drops, of course, the pick and everything. And his numbers was looking, hey, without those drops, that pick and stuff, he would have had close to 250, over 250, you know, what, that's a 65 you know, completion percentage.
Yeah.
And whatnot.
Hey, I think the bottom line is his numbers could have looked much better. I think there were probably four or five that could have gone either way, but he wasn't putting the ball in harm's way, man. So I think that's a beautiful thing. Hey, we only got 2 minutes left. Dylon, hit that music.
Well, Mike, since I didn't make any picks last week, how did you do?
Bo, go ahead and get to your good.
I didn't make any picks at all. My sheet is blank where I had picks. I guess I didn't make any. It just says nothing.
I tell you what, let's start on this foot. Dylon, can we go to my good and we'll go to Ohio State, who was a 7.5-point favorite against Indiana. What did I have to say?
I cannot wait to see what Dylan Sampson does. I think a lot of people are picking Tennessee to upset in this game. I'm not. I'm going with Ohio State at home. That line right now sits at 7.5. Give me Ohio State minus the points. I think the home atmosphere and environment and the talent that is on that team up there, too much to overcome for Tennessee. I love Tennessee as a team, but I think Ohio State gets it done minus the points this week.
That's what I'm talking about! That's why he's the MVP! That's why he's the GOAT!
No! I nailed the pick, but I ruined the lead in. It was Tennessee, not Indiana. I don't know what I was talking about right there. Go ahead, Bo, with your good.
I'm sorry, what?
Go ahead with your good. Oh, Dylan, did he make a pick for Ohio State,
picks.
Tennessee?
I didn't make any picks.
Okay, let's see.
It's an SEC school. It's not going to be that much colder, I think, on kickoff in Columbus, and it will be in Knoxville. Tennessee will be just fine because defense travels, baby. Yeah. I'm going to take Tennessee to cover. I don't know if they'll win, but 7.5 is a huge number.
It's a big line.
It's a big number.
It wasn't big enough.
Brother, this guy stinks!
Oh, man. Hey, real quick, let's get to my bad one. I picked the Eagles yesterday. Look, I felt good through most of the game, Dylan.
I don't have a read on this one. So for the reasons you just said,
I'm going to
go Captain Planet on you, and we're going to put all our rings in the middle and get our full force going, and we're going to get our weight behind the Eagles because you know who Dylan's going for. I know who you're rooting for. I'm going to pull for him as well. I'll go Eagles minus the 3.5, and I'll ride that wave with you.
I might be in trouble on that one.
Captain no bueno. Planet, he's our hero.
Wind,
gonna take
fire,
pollution
heart.
Down to zero.
Did not work out for
yeah,
us.
Yeah, I know the Captain Planet song. I used to watch that on TBS in between Braves games. And
since you went 0-4, is there any other bad one you want to hear?
No. I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay. I love when you do that.
Who the hell would have thought that you bench Will Levis and Tennessee goes off for 30 points while the Colts dropped 38.
Yeah.
Tennessee at Indy. Tennessee just made a quarterback change. They benched Levis.
They benched him. Okay.
Yeah.
With an N in there. Okay.
Yeah.
I was just curious. I thought you meant
everyone else has done that to him.
I thought you meant they disrespected him.
No. The rest of the league has done that to him. They just benched him.
Oh, man.
You know, you're traveling. Brian Callahan had a great little speech, but it doesn't matter. I am taking the 42.5 is the over-under. I'm taking the under in that game.
Psych! That's the wrong number.
There's Miles Garrett.
You only missed
him.
That one by, I don't know, 20 some odd points. Yeah, no big deal.
Let me ask you a question.
I love when you do that.
Would you have expected that they almost scored 70 points combined?
No, I wouldn't have.
Oh,
that was a crazy
game. He did it in Vegas.
All right, we got to go to break, man. We're running way behind. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing when we come back. the man, the myth, the legend, one Mr. Dave Archer. You don't want to miss what he has to say about Michael Penix's debut yesterday for the first place Atlanta Falcons. It's a Victory Monday. It's the morning shift. Mike and Bo, stick with us. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 824 here on the morning shift. It's Mike and Bo. And if you woke up in a good mood, then so did we. You got those first place Atlanta Falcons.
I went to bed in a good mood.
Well, that's... I didn't see till the very end of the game last night. I woke up, and the first thing I did is I rolled over. I was like, oh, let me check my phone. What happened last night? Well, oh, yeah! How about them Cowboys?
Well, I went to bed with big Penix energy because of the win.
You had a little Penix envy? I saw that sign yesterday. It didn't take them long to get that one put on TV.
Cowboys!
Yeah. For right now, let's go out of the phone line. Let's get our buddy Dave Archer on. Dave Archer, the analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network, Bo's caretaker on Sundays. Dave, we talked all day Friday, man, about the Falcons, the opportunities ahead, had to win the game, had to keep winning. Cowboys take care of business last night, man, and you are now in control of your own destiny, and you're in first place.
Yeah, it was fun, Mike. Fun to be a part of that game yesterday and fun to chop it up with you pregame and get ready for what was a really good performance by the entire team. I know that the focus was on Michael Penix Jr., and rightly so, the youngster. I say youngster, I keep telling the youngster, 24-year-old man stepped in there and got it done. But I thought that the guys around him played extremely well, which is what you're hoping for when you've got a rookie quarterback that's going to step in. They did all of that. And then, of course, we got to go home and get a little dinner and watch the Cowboys kind of hold on to knock the Bucs off and give us our spot back. So it was pretty cool.
Well, I had fun sitting next to you yesterday, Arch, and Wes, since apparently I didn't make the list of things that you had fun being around yesterday. Hey, what'd you think of Penix, Arch? You know, it looked like to me he was very calm in the pocket, went through his reads, but what did you see as a guy that played that position?
Well, the beauty of it was they came out and did what I thought maybe Zach would do, and they play actioned on the first play. Mm. I thought they'd give a play action shot, take a shot down the sideline, makes a good throw to Ray. Ray's got to catch that football, and he had some drop passes yesterday, but even with that, I thought that he was extremely poised. I thought that he went through his reads like he'd been playing all season long. And there were a number of times where he's got a little subtle ability to kind of – so we talked about this on Friday with you guys. His ability to move in the pocket just slightly, and it's only maybe a step. It may be a slide up. It might be, you know, something very subtle. But his ability to stay in a position to turn it loose and to rotate and keep his feet alive and shoot the rock. And I thought he did a really good job of getting through progressions. He didn't hold the football at all. I think his average hold in the football was like 2.7 in the pocket, which is incredible for a young guy coming in there and not having played since way back in August. So I thought his poise was number one. Number two was just his command of what they were doing. I thought that he had a really good feel for what they want to do. He had prepared really hard. He talked to me after the game, talked to me pregame about how much he had prepared and how much he'd been waiting for this opportunity and how much he'd listened and paid attention in meetings and stood behind Cousins while Cousin was taking practice reps and going through the reads himself. It showed. I mean, all the stuff that you hope your backup quarterback is doing, especially a young guy trying to learn to play at this level, he was doing all of that stuff. And that came to life in the game because he did all those things, made the right reads, threw the ball in the right spot, kept the ball out of harm's way, didn't take a sack, showed some of that movement we wanted. And, Mike, we got some bootlegs.
Hey.
We got some bootlegs.
Hey, talk dirty to me, baby. I mean, on the first play, Arch, on the first freaking play, we saw that boot. Let's go.
Yeah.
Hey, Arch, real quick, did you think the drops were kind of a little bit of an adjustment by the receivers having to adjust to the speed of the ball, maybe getting on top of them a little bit quicker than expected? Or, you know, because, I mean, there is an adjustment from the ball that Kirk throws compared to Penix.
Is there? Is there an adjustment? I don't know. Is there,
I'm asking you. Are you playing? Not me.
I don't throw the ball left-handed. I never caught it.
I'm actually talking about the speed of the ball, so, really.
Arch is like, I don't run routes.
The throws that were dropped, you're talking about Ray right out of the box. I thought Ray did a really poor job of working back to the quarterback. Yeah. When you get to the top of the route, you can't just stop. He knows that. But he shuts it down. He allows the DB to get back in and rake with the left hand. If he continues to work back, he creates that separation. And so the defender's late getting there. I thought that was the first problem on that one. Drake London drops one in the opening drive as well on a bootleg play. Ball's a little tall for him, but, I mean, Drake goes up. I mean, that's a catch you expect him to make 10 out of 10 times.
there's not a lot of heat on that ball. And then Pitts volleyballs one in the air that ends up being the interception, and I'm not sure how he didn't catch that. I mean, that's planted on him. And, again, not one of those balls that was heated up and thrown at him. So I would say it was just, you know, they just dropped the football. I think that it was the spin. I guess you could argue the spin's different. It's rotating the other direction, maybe a little bit of that. But, I mean, they went through all this through the week. It wasn't like this is the first time the guy had thrown the ball to him. So I'd say catch the damn ball.
Hey, hanging out with Dave Archer, Falcons radio network analyst. Arch, one of the things I was curious and want to get your thoughts on, I know that Zach Robinson said, you know, the full playbook would be open with Michael Penix. How much of that playbook do you think we actually saw yesterday? Because the more comfortable the lead got, the more I was like, well, Zach Robinson's not going to show anything else, you know, along this game plan. We didn't see any zone read or any of the other stuff that you know, might have thought that Michael Penix might have brought into a game plan.
No, I think it's fair to say, Mike, I think that you probably pulled back the fangs a little bit and the claws and didn't get after him as much as you needed to, or maybe you thought you might need to in the second half. Obviously, that was indicated by the numbers. I think Penix's numbers in the first half, if you go through the analytics, I think his average per pass was somewhere in the 7-8 yard range in the first half. I think in the second half, it shrank down to like 3 yards or 2 yards. So he clearly pulled the reins back a little bit, knowing that he didn't necessarily need to expose any more on tape for Washington to get ready for and take a look at Penix. So I think that's fair to say. I think that I do believe what you said initially was that everything was available there should they have wanted to go to it. So I don't think there was some conventional wisdom that, okay, new quarterback, first time playing in the NFL, we're going to have a pared down playbook or pared down game plan for this game. I don't think that was the case at all. I love some of the ball location that he threw, and I think that can improve as well. In the opening drive, he misses Drake London on an inside fade route. They come up and press on third down. I think that's a ball he's going to put on London next time instead of try to lead him or try to take him into the box with the throw. I think that's something he'll throw at the big receiver next time. I think that the throw that he makes in the end zone, it's a 50-50 ball. Deontay Bakes makes a really good play on it. The corner, first-round draft pick from last year for the Giants, does a good job of raking it out. But I think that ball is going to be taller maybe and a little bit more behind Drake on a back shoulder throw. But, again, these are all you're just nitpicking now. You know, these are things he'll clean up as he gets more reps. But you took the shot down the middle of the field to Mooney. The ball's in the perfect location. Mooney wins the inside against the corner. He's going vertical against the corner. The corner's got to go through him to make the play because the ball was located in the right spot inside where it was supposed to be. So I thought he was outstanding yesterday.
All right, Arch, we've talked about Penix, talked about the offense. Let's talk about this defense because I think since the bye week they've had three really good performances. The pass rush is getting going. I mean, Arnold Ebiketie looks like a different player these days.
Yeah, they've been really good, Bo. There's no question. I think that Caden Ellis is kind of the head of the snake a little bit on this thing. I know Jesse Bates is a guy that certainly is part of that as well, but Ellis is playing at a different level. I mean, 7 tackles and a sack again yesterday. We saw him and Ebiketie team up on a little game where he looped the outside and was able to get the ball out. Ebiketie recovered it, as it turns out, because he was right there as well. But those two guys combined for 12 tackles and 2 sacks yesterday. And Ebiketie's got 4 sacks in his last 4 games, so you're right. He's taking it to another level. I would compliment Jimmy Lake and the defensive staff here. That obviously the players have to go make the plays, but I think that they've done some things, just subtle adjustments with hugging up a little bit more in coverage, making the quarterback hold the football a little bit longer. And then I think the games are much more timed up. And, Mike, you could speak to this, having to have it block those games with the TT stunts, the ET stunts, all that kind of stuff, and even maybe even some three-man stunts where they're looping somebody from inside all the way around to the outside and then outside rushers storming in through the A-gap. I think they've done a really good job of creating havoc up front in some of their five-man pressure.
Yeah, Arch, I think the key I was making yesterday was the penetrator, the first guy on the twist stunts, is getting much more push. Really, since coming off the bye week, it's like fresh legs, getting much more push as the penetrator, making the edge a little bit shorter for the wrapper on the on the twist game. So I think that's the timing you're talking about. It's made it all that much better. Arch, before we let you go, real quick, got about 30 seconds. What do the Falcons have to do to be able to stop Jaden Daniels? He obviously presents a set of circumstances that we have not seen much, if at all, this year. He's dynamic. They got a tough task ahead of him defensively this week.
No question about it. The guy's playing at a high low. He's playing with a ton of confidence. The number one thing you're going to have to do or try to limit, I'm not sure you can take it away from him, is you can't let him break you down in the run game. I think that that's number one. I thought that that's what brought them back yesterday to win that football game against the Eagles, was his ability to just take the ball simply and go out. It's not even a word, but out-athletic you. You know, he's a tremendous athlete, ran through them yesterday. So that's going to be the key, is how much can you kind of limit that. He's still a good passer. He's got good guys to throw the football to. But that's the part that I think that Jimmy Lake and that defensive staff are really going to work on. How do we keep the Heisman Trophy winner from trying to get out of there? It hurts you, break you down the run game.
Yeah, that's Dave Archer. Arch, look, man, we're exactly where we wanted to be this point in the year. Let's go up this weekend and get a victory against those Commanders. And Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Merry Christmas to you guys, too. How about them Cowboys?
Hey, how about them Cowboys, baby? Let's go. That's Dave Archer, Falcons Radio Network analyst.
How about them Cowboys?
I think that, listen, he kind of echoes the sentiment we're all having this morning, Bo. We're excited about Pennix. We're excited to be in first place. It feels like a whole new season coming up. You got to go get that dub against Jaden Daniels.
You got a new lease on the season, right?
Yeah.
It's just kind of, that's what it feels like. Coming up next, though, we'll have a Life of Squid, Michael. Mm. And, hey,
P
Kirby.
Stands for Pennix.
Kirby, if you're listening.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to help out Georgia.
Uh-oh. You don't hear that much.
I'm going to give help to Georgia. And I know you know how that pains me to say. But I got a message for you, Kirby Smart.
Uh-oh.
You'll listen next, as you will be, too. Morning Show, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, and?
The Odyssey app. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 843. It's the morning shift. It's Mike and Bo, Dylon behind the glass. G-Unit back there running whatever he does during the show at times in the 8 o'clock hour, so shout out to him. I called you G-Unit. That's all right. Look, we're going to get to Life of Squid in just a minute. I do have a question for you, Dylan. Day-Day walked in this morning. I've already handed you guys my Christmas card from my family. Day-Day walks in. Yes. He hands the Christmas card from his beautiful family. Day-Day's got a absolutely stunningly gorgeous family on his Christmas card. Do you plan on being a Christmas card guy at some point in your future when you hit your 30s?
Absolutely.
You think so?
I would love to do Christmas cards. And look, that's a time that you get your family together and something you can have fun with.
Well, I was going to say, it's probably not going to be your call. It'll probably be,
true.
I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. Yeah. It'll be Simone's call.
Yeah. It's probably true.
If and when you ever decide to take that step.
But if she does decide to listen to my opinion, if she does decide to listen to it, then I will be on the side of yes. I absolutely think she would do Christmas cards.
Bo, you are not a Christmas card guy.
No, I don't. I mean, I think it's nice.
Sure.
I appreciate people sending them. I appreciated Day-Days, and I appreated the Photoshop job.
Yeah,
from my
Mexican level, it was great, man.
Can't even tell. Yeah.
I just
best pesos ever spent.
I don't know. I'm just not a card guy.
Yeah.
My wife is a card person, so I have to give cards.
Is
don't
it
look
more
at
so
me.
About you not being a card guy or you not being a picture guy, or is it both?
It might be.
It has nothing to do with pictures.
You don't think so?
No, I mean, if you want to,
he does have that like weird solo picture on his Facebook profile, so he's kind of a picture guy.
What?
He's good to, yeah,
you're not even friends with me on Facebook.
Well, it was a suggestion. And you're just kind of staring off into space.
And so you didn't.
In your tuxedo.
You didn't click it. Request?
You've never friend requested me?
I don't.
Do either of y'all still use Facebook?
Not really.
Facebook
no, I use it for Marketplace. That's about it.
Yeah. I use it for Marketplace and the neighborhood friends.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because I get to see everybody throw darts at everybody else. So it's kind of fun.
Let me give you guys a tip, though, on the Christmas cards for whenever you do start, and your friends start sending you, I'm sure y'all get them. My wife does this thing where every year she stacks them up and she punches a hole through all of them and puts a ring around it and she puts it into our holiday decorations and then she brings them out and puts them on the coffee table.
Oh, that's so nice.
So that
when
we have visitors, they come and they flip and they thumb through all the Christmas cards from 2020, 2021, whatever it is. I think it's a great idea. You know what I mean?
I agree.
Just trash them. You kind of do that. So, I don't know.
Amy tapes them up on our
We do that too during the season, but I'm saying after you're done, when you're taking down your decorations this year, you punch the ones from this year. You punch a hole in all of them, make a ring of it, throw it in your decorations, and next year you'll bring out the 2024 ones. You know what I'm saying? And you'll throw it on the coffee table, and be like, "Hey, this was everybody's Christmas card from last year."
Yeah, okay.
Not a fan.
I mean, I don't
That's thinking too far ahead.
I mean, that's one more thing of clutter in my house. It's full of clutter because
I've got a cluttered house.
Because I save everything.
Yeah.
And she's more of the thrower awayer.
Okay. You're the hoarder in the family? Yeah. I did not see that one coming, man. Yeah. I'll be honest.
Dude.
I didn't see that one coming. I thought for sure that was flip-flop.
Do you know how many Omaha State coolers I have?
Oh, no. The foam ones?
Yeah.
You got the styrofoam?
Hold on.
You are a hoarder, bro.
Hold up. Those are some of the best coolers.
They are, but how many do you need?
Well, when one goes bad.
No. But you're a hoarder, bro. You're one step away from using the bathroom in your own house.
I use it to transport my meat after I've cooked it. I use it to rest my meat. I mean, I use it for my meat.
You're what?
Hey, when you're prepping
When
you're prepping your meat, pour a bunch of W sauce all over it. Makes it better.
I can't believe you're the guy.
While you're standing there prepping your meat, you need something in your other hand. And that should be an Owl Inn Lager from New Realm. It's the official beer of Kennesaw State Athletics.
Yeah, hooty-hoo.
And then the meat that you're using in all of this is from Omaha Steaks.
Yeah.
And go to omahasteaks.com, use promo code SQUID, and get an extra $30 off a site-wide sale of 50% off already. So that's like a lot of money off. I'm kind of shook.
I'm a little bit flabbergasted that you're the hoarder in the family. I feel like every married couple has one that's a keeper and one that's a thrower awayer. I'm shocked that you're the keeper.
Amy's toxic trait in that is that she goes and just throws everything away. And because of the way I am, she normally throws something away that I need. And then we get in a fight over it.
See, me and Lindsay,
and it's not a big fight because it's like a 50-50 blame thing.
Me and Lindsay go back and forth. Like some days I just want to put my arm on top of the table and put the trash can on the side and completely clean off the table into the trash can. And other days I'm like, oh, you know, I might need that.
Hey,
and we go back and forth.
You recycle?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You got a bin.
Management. Yeah.
You got a bin.
Yeah.
How's your and I'm going to get to this audio. I know we got to go. Who does the breaking down of boxes?
That's a good question.
Because we've got a place in our upstairs by our stairs.
Yeah.
And it's kind of it's inside of the way. And there'll just be a bunch of boxes stacked up.
This is a point of contention. My wife swears that she is the box breaker downer in our marriage. And I don't know what she's talking about. But every time she goes to the trash can. See, my thing is, if it's small enough to fit in the trash can, I don't break it down. But if it's big, I break it down. But she'll go to the trash can and she'll go, you didn't break down this box. And I'm like, because it's like 4 inches by 4 inches. Like, it fits. I don't need to break that one down. So that would, yeah. So we, okay. Yeah, I don't know. If it's small enough to fit in the can, I just throw it.
Be careful. Broken down boxes can get you in trouble. All right. Georgia didn't play this weekend. Notre Dame did. Notre Dame looked good against Indiana.
Mm.
Whatever your thoughts are about Indiana, I don't care. Notre Dame beat them. That's all that mattered.
Yep.
But apparently the performance got some people, and our friend Emory Hunt from CBS Sports.
Friend of the show.
Got him a little over his skis.
He was excited.
About Notre Dame and their matchup against Georgia.
I'm going to just say the quiet part out loud.
Say
it. I don't care if they had Carson Beck. Notre Dame is going to beat Georgia.
Okay.
Notre Dame is great on both sides of the line of scrimmage. They can run the football. They can shut down your passing game. And we saw Beck in that passing game struggle because Georgia's receivers are not the usual suspects at Georgia that we used to see. So this matchup is a bad one for Georgia. I don't care if Gunnar Stockton's out there, Carson Beck, Stetson Bennett with another year of eligibility.
Aaron Murray.
Okay.
Matt Stafford.
Buck Blue, anybody, line them up. They don't have the receivers. They just don't match up well versus Notre Dame. And I like that Notre Dame comes in playing the way they are playing now because they're coming in because Ryan touched on it perfectly. Everyone now is talking about, well, you should have put another SEC team in over Indiana. Notre Dame is sick of hearing all about that. They're going to go down there on a mission and show them why they are who they are.
But man, it's Buck Blue, bro.
I mean, I know Buck. I don't know why he took a stray, but whatever.
I about lost it when he said Buck Blue. I came unglued on that one.
Dude.
Yeah, he's feeling good about that.
I like Emory, and I think Emory's a smart guy. Has he watched Georgia play this year?
I'll play the devil's advocate on that. I'm sure he has.
I think he has because he talked about the passing game. But there's going to be an element to what they bring. With Gunnar Stockton starting, especially to get through these playoffs. Also, what's the one constant that we always see when Notre Dame plays a team that's elite up front with elite talent throughout, right? Now, I know they played A&M.
Do you feel like Georgia's elite up front? That's the question you have to ask.
I don't feel like they are offensive line-wise.
Not the way they have been.
But I don't think that Notre Dame's necessarily elite. I think Notre Dame's good defense.
Right.
Defensive front.
I think it's a good matchup.
But elite, I don't know.
My question would be, and this is not because I think you and I get this. You're a Florida guy. I'm a Bama guy. I'm not coming at Georgia because I would be curious to know what Georgia fans feel like, their confidence level heading into not only this matchup but the rest of the college football playoff.
What happened when we talked the same ways about Texas and Georgia playing in Austin?
Yeah.
And I don't know how Riley Leonard can move. The question, all the stuff that he said, and he didn't hit the one thing that I thought he should have hit on, which was Riley Leonard is the type of player that gives Georgia defenses trouble.
Yeah.
Because he's a quarterback that'll
these
run.
These quarterbacks are going to be very similar, I think, this weekend.
I just think when you say those things about a Kirby Smart coach team, you have put both feet in your mouth. And
that's,
Kirby
that's
might
tough to do.
Kirby might make you chew.
That's tough to do. Hey, this hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. When we get back, Drew Butler's back there in the bullpen with Steak. We'll find out what they got coming up, what they thought about Michael Penix. That's coming up on the other side of the break. Stick with us. Sports Radio 99 The Game.